Now, there is a new database that has just come up online in the last couple of days, and this is in relation to the Irish Civil War. And the story and the picture of the Irish Civil War, I suppose, in terms of the violence that was in different parts of the country, the deaths, who died and why and when, and overall, how many died in relation to the Civil War and what happened during those tumultuous years and a tumultuous period in Irish history. If you have your own views and thoughts on it and on how we remember history, we want to hear from you on the programme this morning. We're going to talk now, though, with Dr. Owen O'Shea, who has written several books on the history of the Civil War and on Irish politics and on Kerry politics in particular. Owen is in studio with us here in Killarney. Owen, good morning to you and thanks
morning,
for joining
Kerry.
Us for the programme. Now, look, this is a searchable interactive Civil War database. It's a fatalities map, effectively, providing new insights into the frequency, the nature and the concentration. There's a story to do with Kerry in relation to this, but the overall story, I suppose, is that the number that we had taught or historians had taught before, much lower than we thought. 4,000 was the estimate. It looks like 1,500 is the figure now.
The reason I think this work is so important, it's the first time ever that we have a definitive list of the fatalities that occurred during the Civil War. And as you say, for years, I suppose, maybe because of the nature of the Civil War being something that people didn't talk about or that people didn't maybe do a lot of research on, historians for many years were just estimating the number of people who died. And as you say, sometimes that estimates were given as high as 3,000 or 4,000 people, which is way off. What this work has done, spearheaded by the team at UCC, is that it has identified through records that have become maybe available in recent years or from newspaper archives that have only become digitised in recent years and so on, have identified every single fatality that occurred between June 22 and May 23. The 10 months of the Civil War, and that's why it breaks new ground. And it puts the figure, as you say, at about 1,500 people across the country. And but I suppose, as John Dorney, one of the people involved in the project, said the other day, or yesterday when it was launched, just because the number of fatalities is lower than we might have previously known or expected, doesn't mean that the nature or brutality of the deaths involved is any lesser.
I'm not sure you could get a key figure for this, but if you can look at every single one of those deaths and you extrapolate the impact in 1923 Ireland, you can imagine a lot more people ended up dying and having huge difficulty because in many cases the main breadwinner was dead.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that always comes through in this research, and if you look at the database, it gives the ages where the age of the person who died is known. And you can see that the vast majority of those who died are very young. They're in their late teens or they're in their 20s. And that shows that the majority of members of the National Army were very young. And as you say, are similarly on the anti-treaty side, many of those who died were very young. And in many cases, it was the eldest son. It was the breadwinner. It was somebody who was bringing in income into the household. And as I've said before, like if you take the exponential effect of that in a family and in a community where you take out the breadwinner, where maybe the eldest sibling or the eldest son is killed, it had huge repercussions for families that were impacted and the wider community as well. So what very much comes through is the very young age at which so many people died in the Civil War, what might be considered a needless loss of a young generation of people. But as I say, for the first time now, anybody can log on to this database, enter a name, enter a location, they'll find the name and address of the person who was killed, how they were killed if it's known, what age they were, what their occupation was, where they died, and most importantly as well, the source for more information about what happened to that individual who was killed, be that a newspaper report. Primarily the sources here are the pensions archives, which have only been digitised in the last couple of years, and that's probably facilitating this kind of research now. But it makes it really simple for anybody, and I think a lot of families over the last couple of years, as you know from speaking to people, descendants of people involved in the revolutionary period, are now starting to engage with researching their ancestors. They'll have grown up maybe hearing that their grandfather or their great-grandmother was involved in Cumann na mBan, or their grandfather might have been involved in the Civil War, and not have any information about that because families didn't talk about it. But now, thanks to a database like this, you can find out the information that you want to find out about your loved one, or indeed if you didn't have a relative who was killed in the war, maybe find out about what happened in your parish or in your community.
Yeah, you can, and you can go through it all from the point of view of, it explains everything. You've got civilians, National Army, IRA and others, and it shows it, all right, and it kicks in, it tells you the information, the age, where the age can be found and all of those things, so it paints that picture. What does it tell us about Kerry? Does it confirm, I suppose, what we know? The Civil War was particularly acute and vicious here.
Yeah, it does. And if there was any doubting the fact that Kerry was the home of some of the worst violence, if not the worst violence of the Civil War, it's confirmed in this database. And there are some fabulous maps that have been produced that I think really illustrate very clearly what occurred across the country. And if you look at the map, which pinpoints all of the fatalities across the country, unsurprisingly, the largest number of deaths occurred in Dublin City, where most of the fighting and casualties occurred. Secondly, Cork City, perhaps unsurprisingly as well, or in the hinterland of Cork City, where there was significant fighting, particularly in the earlier part of the war. But the third highest number of casualties in the country was Tralee. Mm. And if you drill down into that further and look at a map which shows the per capita rate of fatalities, so per 10,000 people, the highest number of fatalities in any county per capita was in County Kerry, which is further evidence, if we needed it, that the fighting and the death toll in Kerry was so high. It gives us new figures for Kerry, and previous estimates had put the number of deaths in Kerry at about 170 or 172 or thereabouts. This tally comes up to about 186.
Okay.
And it includes, I think, a number of civilian deaths that weren't previously included. So you have approximately, in Kerry, you have approximately 88 casualties on the National Army side. That's the highest of higher than those on the anti-treaty side, which comes in at about 70. And then you have 27 civilian deaths which are recorded here, which is done for the first time. And I think the civilian deaths for a long time were maybe written out of the whole history of the period.
Yeah, I'm just looking here. I just clicked on out of interest Kenmare, because there was a battle of Kenmare. It was taken over by the anti-treaty side. The Scartines were killed, and then it was retaken by the National Army in several high-profile incidents. There was an 11-year-old, which I never knew, Dennis O'Sullivan, civilian, died on the 24th of March 1923, died of injuries sustained when he was knocked down by a motor car carrying National Army soldiers.
Yeah, likewise in my own village in Milltown, there were three civilians killed. There was a mother and a son. A young lad, Jeremiah McKenna, ran out onto the road in front of a National Army patrol. He was shot dead as his mother came out the door of the house. She was also shot dead. Stories like that, I suppose, are kind of forgotten about, maybe because the emphasis in all of our history when we were talking about the Civil War was on
the combatants,
National Army versus anti-treaty, and how many died on both sides. But it's forgotten, I suppose, that so many civilians were killed and people who had nothing to do with the conflict itself, and 27 in Kerry, all of whom are detailed here for the first time, is important to remember as well. And in fairness, I should mention that the first effort, I suppose, at putting a figure on all of this was done by Tom Doyle, the Killorden historian, back in 2008 in his book on the Civil War in Kerry, and I suppose the numbers have increased since then because we have the availability now of the pension files, which document a lot more of the casualties that wouldn't have been previously known or recorded. And we also have access to newspaper accounts online through the Irish Newspaper Archive, which makes all of searching for this sort of material very, very useful. But as you've shown there, you can log into the database, you can put in a location or put in a name, and it'll take you to the details of where, when and how that person was killed, which is hugely valuable.
You talked about the numbers there, and the biggest in absolute terms was Dublin. There was two phases to the Civil War. There was the conventional Civil War, where large pitch battles took place, won relatively quickly by the National Army, the Battle of Dublin, for example, as well. But then that Kerry story underlines that Kerry was the hardest place to suppress, and it was where things got particularly nasty because of that fact. It was more guerrilla warfare, it went on for longer, there were more National Army soldiers killed, and many of them by booby-trap bombs. So it tells that story of the in the numbers.
It does, on the maps. And the maps, I think, are a fascinating way of illustrating it. And, you know, all credit to the team at UCD who've mapped this out, which makes it visually easier to appreciate. And you can see very clearly that the Munster Republic, as it was called, this line between Limerick and Waterford, where the fighting or where the anti-treatyites effectively retreated to in the later phases of the war, that the majority of the casualties outside of Dublin then occurred in the Munster Republic. And if you like, what I've called kind of the Kerry Republic, if you like, that line kind of retreated to Kerry. And the last of the fighting in the Civil War was in Kerry, and the siege at Clashmelkin is probably the one of the last major episodes of the war. So it proves again that in that later phase of the war, in the last couple of weeks and months when the fighting was over in most of the rest of the country, that the fighting was still going on in Kerry, and you had this frustration on the part of the National Army, who we know carried out a series of vicious killings of Republican prisoners. And you can see that even illustrated on the map when you drill down into it for Kerry as well, that the majority of casualties were in Tralee. But if you look after Tralee, then Killarney, obviously, where you had the likes of Countess Bridge, obviously, and in Carhartt-Savine, you can see those documented where the killings took place at Bahux and so on. You can see a breakdown drilled right down into every parish or location in Kerry that shows you where the casualties occurred. And interestingly, I think from kind of a political, in terms of civil war politics and in terms of the politics of it, it's interesting that in a place like Tralee, where most of the Republican casualties occurred, you have TDs like Austin Stack, Paddy Cahill, Tom McKellistrom being elected. It becomes a Republican stronghold. Similarly, down in southwest Kerry, you have TDs emerging out of there where there was such an impact on the anti-treaty side. People like Dennis Daly, Tomás O'Donoghue. And then if you take the other side of it in Listowel, which was back then considered a kind of a pro-treaty town, it was the first National Army garrison. James Crowley, the TD there, holds the Dáil seat for a long time. In Killarney, another Free State garrison, John Marcus O'Sullivan. So the political implications of that are very clear from the map as well. And you can see how different sort of strongholds of the political
developed their leanings, whether pro or anti-treaty, or Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil eventually.
Yes, based on where the highest number of casualties occurred during the Civil War, and based on where some of the worst of the fighting occurred.
Yeah. Okay, Owen, look, it's fascinating stuff. It's UCC. People have been looking for the website. It's the UCC. Department of History has done all this work. If you go to UCC, the Irish Revolution, click on the link, or just Google UCC Civil War map. It'll take you straight to the interactive map. Very easy to use. Hugely interesting. Owen O'Shea, thanks so much for coming in. It's Owen O'Shea, author of Ballymacandy, The Story of a Kerry Ambush, and No Middle Path, The Civil War in Kerry.